Well, maybe they didn't get it right. Treasurer Jim Chalmers has hinted the government may consider regulatory interventions in an attempt to address the increase. Tim Buckley is here again with his take. Tim, the director of the Climate Energy Finance Think Tank, and is with us now. Hello there, Tim.
Good afternoon, Lindsay.
Hello. Okay, so, all right, so how would you summarise, we're going to talk about spending, the Labor government's spending priorities for the energy sector?
I think there is a lot that is very positive in this budget for the investment in the energy sector, for driving lower, permanently lower electricity prices, permanently lower energy prices for Australia, for driving decarbonisation and facilitating the investment, the private investment that's going to be needed to rebuild capacity that's end of life, that's 40, 50 years of age. We know it's going to close. It's closing faster than expected. We need the investment unlocked. And I think this federal government has done a good job in this budget to actually facilitate the grid modernisation and capacity so that private investment can step up and permanently expand supply. We know economics 101, you drive energy prices down by increasing supply. So we've had an almost investment freeze thanks to the previous government. This government spending a lot of money to catch up, to get the grid ready, to modernise the grid, and then set the framework for private investment to be unlocked. So I think it's a very positive budget when it comes to that. It'll do nothing for electricity prices in the next 12 months.
Is that, though, I mean, it was 20% this year, another 30% next year. Is that, you know, restricted overseas supply caused by the war between Russia and Ukraine? That's something the federal government here, of course, has no control over. Is that why prices are going up?
Well, I would challenge you on that. The federal government could, if they had some spine, have total control over it, because Australia is the third largest fossil fuel exporter in the world. Now, obviously, the current government, the Albanese government's been elected. They've committed to no new taxes and to being a sensible centralist government, that they're not going to shock the market and unwind a decade of regulatory capture and failed government at the federal level. But let's start from the basics. Australia is one of the three largest exporter of fossil fuels in the world. So, and they're using public assets for private export gain, mostly multinational export gain. So if we wanted to be radical, at the end of the day, Australia produces more coal than almost any other country in the world. We produce more gas for export than any other country in the world. We could actually reserve that for 22 million Australians. The previous government chose to allow multinationals to own our gas and to allow them to export all of it and restrict the supply to the domestic market. So I do think it is within the control of the government at the end of the day. I'm talking a rather major intervention and a major intervention against investment over the last decade.
This is the gas trigger, that kind of thing. And I think Jim Chalmers did suggest maybe within the broader suite of regulatory interventions that this could be something that would happen, shortly down the track.
Well, yes, let's go back. Western Australia, when 15 years ago, introduced a domestic gas reservation. In other words, they said, we've got a huge amount of domestic gas in Western Australia. Let's allow the industry to come in and export it, but let's make sure we, as a logical first principle, serve the domestic market needs first and export the rest. Now, unfortunately for the eastern coast of Australia, like 22 million of us, there was no reservation. So there was no there was an agreement. The agreement was that these multinationals would not in any way impact the domestic market. They lied through their teeth. We've now seen the gas price go up 500%, and we all bear the brunt of that. So the idea of a trigger, I think, I mean, Dr. Ken Henry actually introduced a rather interesting concept. He's the very senior Treasury executive from a decade ago. He just said, we've got an absolute market failure here. He suggested bringing in a major new export tax only on East Coast export gas, LNG, and that would immediately halve the price of gas on the eastern coast. That would immediately halve the energy pressures on 22 million Australians. And it wouldn't just affect the gas market, because gas is the marginal price setter for electricity. And so it would immediately, in my view, halve the electricity price. It would solve the problem overnight, but that's a pretty radical, and you can expect five CEOs of multinationals to scream blue murder and sovereign risk. But at the end of the day, go back to their approvals a decade ago, they said they would not in any way damage the East Coast gas market. They obviously lied. They obviously deliberately moved 22 million Australians to paying export price parity using our own gas for their profits. So I've been arguing we need war profiteering taxes. Unfortunately, that wasn't in Jim Chalmers' first budget.
Well, okay, so regulatory interventions could be coming, but what about subsidies for fossil fuel producers? Greens leader Adam Bandt says the budget is still subsidising fossil fuel companies to the tune of $40 billion and $2 billion in handouts for gas producers. What have you seen in the budget that would be supporting fossil fuel producers?
Yes, unfortunately, the Jim Chalmers, I think he's done a good budget, but I think Adam Bandt's absolutely right. There is nothing in terms of actually making the war profiteering multinational gas cartel pay anything like a remotely fair share. I mean, as the ATO has shown, they've paid no, most of these multinational fossil fuel gas companies have paid no tax, like zero corporate tax in Australia in the last 7 years. And yet we have all just seen our petrol prices go up because the Jim Chalmers quite rightly said we can't afford to have the halving of the petrol excise continue. But I would remind Jim Chalmers that for 60 years, the mining industry hasn't paid a cent of excise on their diesel imports. So I would argue we should cap the diesel fuel rebate. That would immediately save $4 to $5 billion a year, and that would start to make a contribution to offsetting some of the energy crisis that 22 million Australians are being impacted on. But there was very little on multinational tax reform. Jim Chalmers does have a $900 million increase in multinational tax, but when you're paying zero, $900 million is a lot of money to all of your listeners, to me, to you, but in the scheme of the tens of billions of dollars of profits, hundreds of billions of dollars of revenue these companies are booking in Australia every year, $900 million, a drop in the ocean. BHP pays $10 billion US dollars corporate tax every year in Australia. Exxon pays nothing. BP pays nothing. I think it's time to square that peg.
What about, the growth of the renewable energy market? What is the government committing for that, and is there more that you'd like to see?
They have committed a very, very globally ambitious 82% decarbonisation of our electricity grid by 2030. They've committed $20 billion of funding for rewiring the nation. We've seen the first major projects, Marinus Link, VNI West Link, New South Wales to Victoria, transmission links, announced last week. Those sort of announcements are critical enabling infrastructure, so they're all positive, but Snowy Hydro was announced 5-6 years ago. It won't be operational for another 4 or 5 years. These projects take 5 to 10 years to build. So when I say it's a really important announcement for driving permanently lower energy prices in Australia, it will do nothing in the next 2 years. And what we need to be cognizant of, the electricity price